In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday, we actually begin our journey into Lent with the reading from the Gospel story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is given to us as sort of a faint and distant whisper of the coming of Lent to remind us first and foremost that the Lord came to seek and save the lost. Lent is a time of repentance, a time for us to own up to our shortcomings and strive to do better, serving Christ and following His words, keeping His commandments. And so the church encourages us not to despair no matter how far we have fallen away and drifted away, but to remember that Christ has come for the sake of sinners. But this gospel also presents to us an image of the path of repentance in the actions of Zacchaeus and the Lord's response to them. Zacchaeus, we're told, is a chief tax collector and rich. And some context is necessary to understand what it meant to be a tax collector in the ancient world. Tax collectors were charged by the Roman Empire to collect a certain amount. Now, they weren't paid anything by the empire. Instead, the empire looked the other way and allowed them to collect whatever they wanted to in addition to the set tax amount. As long as the empire got their money, they didn't mind what the tax collector did for himself. And as a chief tax collector, obviously, Zacchaeus had an even greater advantage. And so he was rich. He was rich by virtue of the extortion and manipulation of others for the sake of his own greed. He was rich as a result of his sins, as a result of his taking advantage of his own people, his own brothers and sisters who were part of the people of Israel. And Zacchaeus hears, this rich Zacchaeus, hears that Jesus is coming into town and he wants to see him. It's not explained why he wants to see him, but we can imagine. Because others, when they hear that Jesus is coming, they're inspired to go and seek him out. Word of this teacher and miracle worker was spreading throughout the country and people were intrigued. Especially people who maybe had at least a faint knowledge of the spiritual emptiness within them, their need to have that filled. And so Zacchaeus, hearing that Christ is coming, goes to see him. And yet, he is not able to get into a position initially to see the Lord coming. And two reasons are given for that. One, because of the crowd. There was a crowd of people assembled there along the road to see Christ come in. And then two, because Zacchaeus was small. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was short. Now these two reasons why he could not see Christ are actually symbolic as well. Those are allegories. The fathers tell us that Zacchaeus' shortness, his smallness of stature, represents his spiritual weakness. He is short spiritually. His spiritual growth has been stunted by his greed. And this is part of the reason that he can't see Jesus. The other reason is the crowd. Now, first, go back to the historical setting, this crowd that's standing there. I'm sure that there were little children who wanted to see Jesus who were able to see him, no matter how short they were, because that crowd of people would let them through to the front. maybe even shorter adults that they liked. But they don't like Zacchaeus, and they're not letting him through. Think also of the paralytic who came to see Jesus, or who was brought to see Jesus. He was not able to come himself, and yet he had friends to carry him, and therefore he was brought before Jesus. But Zacchaeus has no friends as a result of his sins. Everybody there didn't want to give him the least more than they had already given him. He'd taken their money, but they weren't going to let him push his way into the front to see Jesus. And so, symbolically, the reason why Zacchaeus cannot see Christ is because of his sins. That crowd represents the multitude of his sins. His shortness represents his spiritual immaturity. And these two things keep him from seeing Christ. And yet, he doesn't give up. But he climbs up into the sycamore tree. He finds some way in order to see Jesus. This is the first step in coming to Christ. Overcoming that urge to just despair and give up because our sins seem so insurmountable. Our sins seem like they will always keep us from seeing God and from knowing God and from having communion with God. To overcome that despair, to do something, to climb up into the tree, whatever it is we have to do in order to see Jesus. For us, what does that mean? It means making some kind of effort, coming to church, saying your prayers, fasting, doing something to show God that we want Him in our lives, even though our sins, the multitude of our sins, seem to stand in the way of that. God, of course, knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows what we want. But He respects our free choice, and He wants us to demonstrate it in some way, however feeble. And when we do so, He responds immediately. Like Jesus responding to Zacchaeus, Jesus comes, pushes His way through the crowd to come to that tree where Zacchaeus is. And He addresses him. Out of all of those people gathered there, His focus is now on Zacchaeus, who has demonstrated that he wants to see Christ. And He says, "Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down. For I must enter your house today. I must stay at your house today." This coming down is the next step to being united to Christ. That coming down, that descent, to it, coming down specifically to face Jesus, who is at the foot of the tree, represents humble confession. Represents how we come before Christ, we stand before Him, and we lower ourselves. We let go of our pride and of our vanity and of that shield and that facade and that mask that we're constantly projecting towards other people. And we show to Him who we really are in all of our shortness, in all of our spiritual immaturity, in all of our sin. This is the hard part, and yet Christ motivates Zacchaeus with a promise. He says, "Make haste and come down because I must stay in your house today. If you come down and face me, if you confess and admit transparently your weakness and your sin, then I will come and stay with you." And that's enough to motivate Zacchaeus to come and stand before Christ. And Christ then does come into his home and feasts with him. And in the midst of that feasting, Zacchaeus says something that he himself would have never expected to say, let alone everyone else. The shocking statement that he makes, or series of statements. He says, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. It's a little, maybe not clear in this translation, but he's saying, now I'm giving away half of my goods. Sort of like Oprah, you know, like you get a car and you get a car. All of a sudden, I give away half of my goods to the poor. And on top of that, after giving away half of my goods, if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to give them back four times what I cheated them. Zacchaeus is not going to be rich anymore. But that's not important to him. What's important to him is Christ, who has come into his midst and has changed him from the inside out, so that he is now a new person. He may not have grown physically, but he has grown as a person. He now is, instead of grasping and greedy, generous. And this represents, of course, the fruit of this whole process. When we make the effort to seek out Christ, when he comes to us and we descend and lower ourselves through humble confession, then he enters into our lives and transforms us from the inside out, making us those righteous people we were created to be, fulfilling our spiritual potential to the glory of God. This is something that happens not just once in our life, this process, but it happens over and over again. This is what Lent, God willing, will be for us, a time of spiritual renewal and transformation, when we can seek out Christ, humble ourselves, receive him, and be transformed. To our great and saving Lord Jesus Christ be glory, honor, and worship, together with his unoriginate Father and his all-holy and good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.